When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Ty, nice way to add salt to the wound. Nice way to just, for the Knicks fan, to just not only did you lose, but just to add that it's never happened before.
Yeah, listen.
In those situations, just you enjoy that, didn't you? There was a slight smile on your face.
No.
Come on, Ty.
No.
It was a slight smile on your face.
No, I will not allow that. I will not allow that to be the reputation that I have. I listen. I put on my Instagram and head there, Ty D. Butler, that we are having a therapy session for Knicks fan today because that's
suck.
A crushing loss. That is a brutal loss. It's heartbreaking. You run out of words. That's not the type of game you come out and say, you know, we lost to the better team. You tip your cap to the best player. No, that's one where you're gonna have nightmares about for the rest of your life. So we're having a therapy session for the Knicks fans. You can call us up 800-919-3776. Hit us up on Twitter at Hardesty ESPN, at TMKS ESPN, Ty D. Butler. We want to be there for you today. Because it's the holiday season. You should not have to live by yourself with what happened last night. So let's do it as a family. How about that?
Okay, I'll play along, as Michael says. I'll play along. 1-800-919-3776. Rob's in Baldwin. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's up, Ty? What's up, Larry? Listen, we're going back to the Virginia caller that said something about Tibbs. When they went down, Luka hit that crazy foul shot and missed the shot. Mm-mm. We didn't match up bigs. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Okay, they brought in JaVale McGee.
Yep.
They brought in Wood, but we didn't match up.
Nope.
Sims.
So
you're going to talk about Sims, right?
You had McBride trying to get a rebound over Luka? Come on. You got Hartenstein, and you got the Sims. Other kid sitting on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you just match up? And we would have had a rebound. That's all you had to do is get a rebound. We can talk about all the aspects of the game and Luka this, Luka that, and Bream hit it on the head. Luka's going to do Luka. Just don't let anybody else come in and start getting hot. We were good. And when you got four guys or five guys doing 40, 45, and you ain't put nobody else in, Derrick Rose is inbounding the pass, and then he comes out. And then when he inbounds, they pass it in, and they wait to get tagged for a foul. I'm like, bro, get rid of the ball and dribble around. It's almost like you're hoping not to lose. You're doing so much not to lose. You're not doing enough to win. And I think the coaching, to me, has been here a couple of years already. We've been saying the same thing. And who's been the coach? You got to realize sometimes it's not a gelling factor with these young guys. And to have Cam Reddish, and you're not getting rid of Fournier, we all know that. But you went down for the rotation, you changed the rotation, that's great. But when you went out with RJ and Brunson, come on, you got to play those other dudes. You can't give these guys 40, 45 minutes. And McBride, okay, he missed a free throw, 1 out of 2, then he hit 2 out of 2. I'm not worried about that. That Luka play right there was it. You didn't match. And they took a timeout to match up.
But here's the thing, Rob. So here's the thing on that play, and I'll let you finish making your point. So McBride's actually on the perimeter coming in. The Knicks didn't have Robinson and Randall lined up to get the rebound. These guys on the night had combined for 34 rebounds. So you should feel good about your two best rebounders in the game there. Randall tipped it away. It was a great play by Wood. Randall almost had it. Wood tips it out, and then it ends up in Luka's hand, and he hits a miraculous shot. McBride's really got nothing to do with it. That he's coming from the perimeter.
Yeah, but if you watch him when he comes from the perimeter, he tried his best to block up on Doncic on that shot. But I'm saying if we didn't have to do that, even Bream said, cover the shooter. Yeah, and I'm like, you always got to cover the shooter. And he
always
didn't
do.
And you didn't cover him.
You're right, Rob. Thanks for the phone call. But and you're right. And that could have been handled differently. But once again, Ty, for me, hit your free throws.
Yes.
Hit your free throws. We're not having this conversation.
Yeah.
Hit your free throws. Hit your free throws.
It shouldn't have even come down to that play, to be honest.
No, it shouldn't have. It shouldn't have. It was, even though they had the 9-point lead with 33 seconds left, the way they were apprehensive and nobody wanted to really, it's like nobody really knew what to do. Who do I give the ball to? I know I don't want the ball trying to put a ball in the basket late in this game, because that means that we could win or lose this game. You could just see the apprehension. You could just see the uncomfortability of most of the guys on the floor. And so that's what really happened. There was nobody that took control of that offense late in the game, Ty. That's why they got to their positions. And now you're asking them to make free throws. And then in the overtime, they're done. They're done. Mentally, they're done.
You know what stings?
It's over.
And you know what stings, too? So in this four-game losing streak, as I mentioned, every loss probably feels worse than the one before. And it started with that game against the Raptors, where you had a lead late in the game and you just didn't have a closer, because Pascal Siakam kept on scoring all the way up to 51 points, and you blew that game. You had a 6-point lead with 5.5 minutes left to go against the Bulls, and you're missing free throw. Christmas Day, great first quarter. Second half, you really had nothing. Would you end up scoring 16 points in the fourth quarter? And then last night, you blew a 9-point lead with 33 seconds left. So you're developing a here, but what's so frustrating, you should have won last night and you should have won the Bulls game. And had you done that, Larry, you would really just be two games back of both the Cavs and the Sixers. And I know it's early, you know, to peek at the standings, but if the Knicks had kept playing well, then they were going to force us to have a conversation about whether or not they can actually be a threat in the Eastern Conference to, you know, to win a round. And uh-huh. Sitting two games back of both the Sixers and the Cavs, if you just nail those games, then we would, the conversation would be completely different. But now, unfortunately, we're reacting to four straight losses and this an all-time collapse. So there's a different feeling and a different tenor, because no one was complaining about Thibodeau when they were winning eight games. Now those fire the coach conversations are resurfacing again because you just keep losing these heartbreakers.
Dave's in Atlanta. What's up, Dave? You're next on the K Show.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays and great show. I'm going to sound like the old guy here, but when you got 6'1" guys and 6'2" guys missing free throws at the ends of game 35, I mean, it ain't game 7, it's game 35, and they're getting too nervous to hit free throws. That says a lot about, I don't know, their game. Anyway, they should cancel all their Instagram accounts where they're showing them bouncing it off their girlfriend's heads and they can't make free throws. Anyway, second point I wanted to make is, you guys aren't talking about on the Luka missed free throw, McBride and Grimes bump into each other trying to get the ball. They both go up. They both bump into each, like their forehands fumble the ball, and that's when Luka grabs it. Now, I don't know how you coach that. You know, if you watch the end of the game, right after Luka makes the shot, they look at each other like, I thought you had it. I thought I had it. I thought you had it. I don't know how you coach that out of a player. It's two guys going up to the same ball, and neither one comes down with it. The ball squirts out. Luka's there, hits the shot.
You're right, Dave. That's a freak play. Thanks for the phone call. The only way you can work that is by what some of the callers had said. If you put a taller player in for one of those guys. Okay, so let's say you bring either the Hardenstein or Sims, who jumps out of a building, Ty, and you put them in, at least they have a chance. Now it's not two shorter guys. It's a shorter guy plus a taller guy who, yeah, along with Robinson and Randall, now you're taking up where they came in and brought in McGee and Wood. You're counteracting what they have. So now it's like you've got a bunch of hands going up, and maybe the extra second, Ty, that the ball is in the air, it doesn't allow Luka to have a chance to grasp it and then toss it up the way he did. That's the only other way. The way things happen, that's a fluke play. We all agree. It can't come down to that play.
It shouldn't come down to that. And by the way, as fantastic as Luka was last night, we forget that he had almost like three just game-changing plays. He had turnovers on back-to-back possessions. Mm-hmm. Then he had the one play where the Knicks clearly got away with an eight-second violation that wasn't called, and he was red hot about it, so much so he was jumping up and down, screaming at the official, and it immediately led to a Knick basket. So he, Luka, for as good as he was last night, and he was tremendous, gave you opportunities to win that game, and then for it to come down to something fluky like that, where, you know, Sims and Grimes are just running into each other, that's devastating.
It is. It is. Steve's in Long Island. Steve, you're next on the Michael Kay Show.
Guys, how you doing?
What's up, Steve?
I'm good. I was saying, like, a lot of people are saying, like, you know, this is a fluke, like, it's something that never happened, but we forgot 27 years ago, Reggie Miller did the same thing to you guys. So Knicks fans should be used to this. It's a normal thing. That's why I call this team a heart attack team. They get you all hype, and then, boom, they just lose everything. You know, like, the Knicks, they really need – they don't have a superstar. Randle's not a superstar. Like, he's not – he's a – I would say a star, not an all-star, because he's only been an all-star once. You have to be an all-star at least three times to be called an all-star. The Knicks need a superstar, and that's the only way they'll get back to winning.
All right, Steve, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, they did it. Believe me, I was there. They did it with Reggie Miller, but not at this state. Not like this. His was, I don't want to go back there. Please don't do that music to me. Please, please, please. It was so bad, Ty. Ty, that was so bad. And you know what was funny about that? People were blaming Spike Lee.
Oh, that's the best part.
They blamed Spike Lee.
Because
they
of the
blamed
joke.
Spike Lee. Yeah, because he was talking stuff and Reggie Miller was with him. And I remember they were going down to the next game was in Indy, and I was working at another radio station early in the morning doing morning sports, and the security guard said, "Larry, Spike Lee's calling you. Spike Lee's calling you." And so I called Spike, and we put him on the air because he wanted to have equal time. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't that his sucks. Fault that that happened.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
That, come on, you can't blame.
I mean, that was just that was a fantastic Reggie Miller being Reggie Miller and just killing the Knicks and playing. We talk for you guys. It's Trae Young. For the older Knicks fans, it was Reggie Miller. He was the guy you love to hate. He came in and he taunted Knicks fans.
And he embraced it. He loved it. By the way, a few minutes ago, I said it was Sims and Grimes who ran into each other. It was McBride and Grimes. Sims was on the bench, and that's one of the reasons why you brought him up. So I want to apologize for that mistake. Someone brought it up on Twitter. But yeah, Reggie has embraced it. You know, the Trae Young thing, I was actually at game two a couple years ago when the Knicks made the playoffs, and it was the only game they had won. And it felt like the, how do I say this? The bleep Trae Young chorus had started, and it was like a crescendo of their hatred for Trae Young. It was the only game the Knicks had won that year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there are certain players who just love it and embrace it and enjoy it. And Reggie Miller got the last laugh when it was the Pacers. Trae Young got the last laugh when it was the Hawks. So Knicks fans are just waiting for their team and their fans to be able to finally get that last laugh against an opposing player who they really can't stand.
The Knicks need a player who doesn't mind wearing that black hat. Going into, you know what I'm saying, going into an enemy arena, getting the last basket, and doing what needs to be done and just staring at the crowd. That's what Reggie Miller was. That's what Trae Young was during that playoff, a couple of seasons ago. That's what the Knicks need. They need, keep saying it, Ty, a closer. They have complementary players. And Jalen Brunson upgrades their complementary players because he's a guy that understands from playing with Luka, right? Understands where the ball needs to go, how to get other people involved, and so on and so forth. And for me, he's really shown that. I'm just think, and we get to the calls in a second. Just think, Ty, what he's been able to do to run an offense and facilitate an offense, playing behind a guy who's ball dominant. Luka's more ball dominant than LeBron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luka's got probably the highest usage rate in the league. So for him to come and show that he is capable of running an offense to this extent, I've been really impressed with that signing. And I was one who, admittedly, I didn't get it. I felt like they were overpaying for him. And the retort from people was that they're filling a void, a much-needed void, because the Knicks have been bereft of that point guard floor general. So I understood it. It just felt like an overpay. But, man, has he lived up to the hype so far. He's lived up to the contract. And they missed him last night. I know there was a caller on hold who was going to try to make the point that he wouldn't have altered the outcome. And I could not disagree with that anymore. I think a guy like Jalen Brunson, who you said, you need that poise, that guy who's going to stand in there and be able to understand the play that needs to be made. And it felt like every Knick was just looking at each other like, you want the ball? No, you want it? No, you want it? And that plagued them late in the fourth quarter and into the overtime.
It's like, I'll take it, but you're going to get it right back. Get ready to get it back. I'll take it back. Hey,
he's already hit so many big shots this year.
Yeah, he has. And he would have hit his free throws. That's the other thing.
Even though he did miss the free throws against, it was at Chicago.
Yeah.
In that game, he missed two straight free throws, which was surprising. But that's not going to happen often.
That's rare. Erickson Queens, what's up, E?
Hey, Larry. Listen, I'm not going to go on so fat about Tibbs or whatever it is. You know, Tibbs is who he is. But if you look at their character, what is this, his third, fourth year, whatever, they still can't beat the zone. They still can't call plays or do anything under pressure. It reflects the coach, especially when you have young and upcoming talent like they do. If you had, you know, experienced vets, you know, it's a different thing. That's why it don't matter. And to today's player just don't respond to all of that yelling and screaming and subjection to all of this harsh talk. If you look around the league, everybody's playing their young. And you have young coaches that know how to work them and do it. And Todd made a point about, well, you know, nobody said nothing with the winning streak. Nobody never does when you're winning. Winning covers everything. But when you're losing, and a lot of times it falls on the moves that you make as a coach, a lot of it in game, not matching up, not doing this. You do it a lot. Don't call timeout. Don't go offense to defense. You know, but I don't want to knock him. Tibbs is doing a nice job, but I personally just think that, you know, he's gone as far as he really can go with this team. They're not going to progress anymore. They need to bring in some young talent that really can really develop these guys.
Eric, I hear what you're saying. Thanks for the phone call. I'll say this, a couple of things. He's playing younger players now, so you can't criticize him for that. Does he have to continue to play them so that they can be more familiar and know how to handle themselves in game situations like this? Absolutely. That will be something that he has to have going forward. Even when teams win, there's something that you could criticize a coach for.
Yep.
Even when they win, there is something that you could criticize a coach for. You'll say, boy, they're lucky they won because here's what he did, and they're lucky they overcame it. Or if he hadn't hit that shot, it would be in a different situation. So look, once again, here's the bottom line here for this team. The team needs to improve talent-wise. It is not where it needs to be consistently a top six team in the conference where you could say they're a team that could challenge somebody to come out of the West, out of the East, to challenge the West. They're not. They need more talent.
They just don't have the fire, the top end firepower because yes, they have some nice pieces with, you know, Quickly and Grimes and, you know, the other, Mitchell Robinson. Like they have nice rotational pieces who can be a part of something bigger. They just don't have the top end talents and compete with the likes of the Celtics, who are throwing out Tatum and Jaylen Brown, two perennial all-stars. And the Bucks, who have arguably the best player in basketball in Giannis, alongside Middleton and Drew Holiday. And the Nets with Kyrie and KD. And the Cavs with Mobley and Mitchell and Garland. It's just tough to compete with those upper echelon teams and Sixers with Embiid and Harden when you don't have like that superstar talent on your roster. And I think that's why it's so frustrating, because you've been looking for it. It's like jet quarterback. You've been looking for a quarterback, it seems like, forever. The Knicks have been looking for that superstar, and they had one a decade ago with Melo, and all it led to was, you know, one playoff run. We won one playoff series, a 54-win season, and then you beat the Celtics in the first round, and then you were done. But you just haven't been able to develop that guy and get the superstar on your roster. Because you're looking at it, you're like, the Grizzlies, they got Ja Morant, the Pelicans have Zion Williams, like every team, Booker with the Suns. We got all these young players who are just absolute stars around the league, and we can't get one?
No, because the Knicks never, as much as they, and part of it is their fault because of who they've drafted.
Yes.
Okay? Because they've had, believe me, they've been bad enough to have other talent.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you talk about, we could have traded for Donovan Mitchell. You could have drafted Donovan Mitchell.
Yes, you could.
Okay. Boy, you know, boy, these players look really good. You could have drafted them when you had the opportunity.
Yeah, when we were talking about Tyrese Halliburton last year, when he became available, it was like, yeah, you could have drafted that guy as well.
You could have drafted him. And most people thought they were going to draft him, but then Obi Toppin swoops in. And the reason why, and listen, Obi Toppin is a nice player, but, you know, the thought process was, well, we're going to get rid of Julius Randle, so we wanted to bring in Obi Toppin. When you don't get rid of Julius Randle, now you got two people that play the same position. So now you're still spinning your head around trying to figure out what are we going to do.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
This gangrene report on 98.7 ESPN, driven by Ramsey Mazda and Ty Butler. Jet fans are ecstatic. As a matter of fact, when this became official, I was watching TV and I heard this yelling and screaming. And I was like, what's going on? I turned the TV down. It was still yelling and screaming. It was the fact that Mike White had been cleared to be the starting quarterback this week.
Let's go!
And he talks about the emotions of waiting to be cleared.
It was tough, but you try to stay engaged and enjoy being around your teammates, and that helps keep your mind off of it. But like on game day, it's especially hard when physically you feel like you could go out there, but understand why the doctors wouldn't clear me. So it was tough, but if you make the most out of it, you'll be all right.
So he was also asked, Ty, how does it make you feel to know that you are the permanent starter?
I wouldn't say the permanent part of it meant anything. It was just anytime you're named the starter, like, you wear that badge with honor. And to be able to go out and lead these guys, and just to know how hard these guys work and how important it is to them, and then you get that chance to lead them, because every quarterback's a leader. So I take that with a lot of pride and seriousness and professionalism. So that's the coolest part about it for me. It's not so much the longevity of it. It's just the opportunity itself.
Now, Ty, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say, before the recent deactivation, of Zach Wilson, before the first deacquisition, deactivation of Zach Wilson, mm-hmm. If he had been asked that question, he would not have handled it the way Mike White handled it.
No, he would not. And you know what's so alarming to me? After the loss to, who was it, the Lions last week, when Zach made his return, he was asked about, like, you know, about the game, and he took full blame for it, full responsibility for what happened in that game. And people went ballistic. Oh, you see, he's maturing. He's taking accountability. I'm like, do you know how bad it's gotten? How bad it has to get for us to be giving you adulation for simply telling us what happened in the game? That's how bad it got for Zach Wilson. But as far as, you know, Mike White being announced, I was elated. You know, I'm hitting up all, I've got a lot of friends and family who are Jet fans. We've got group chats galore. And as soon as that Schefter bomb came out, I believe it was actually Brian Costello who broke the story. Mike White has been cleared to return. I mean, it was like we had won the Super Bowl. That's how good he makes us feel. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I'm dreaming of a Mike White Christmas. That's change the song. That's how we're going to say the lyrics. He gives them the best chance to win, and now they've got a chance to get to the playoffs for the first time since 2010. And, you know, he's going to come in there compromised and all, but do you know what it has to say, like what it means for this team and this organization to feel like a compromised Mike White gives them a better chance than the number two overall pick from last year? You know what that says about Zach Wilson?
Not a lot. Not a lot. That's the Gangrene Report, driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. I want to get your thoughts on a couple of quarterback issues, but let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Jason's in Pennsylvania. Jason, you're next on the Michael K. Show.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. I'm a long, long, long-suffering Jets fan. I put all the blame on the situation that's going on the team, on the front office, on the coaches. You know, Zach's 23. He was drafted at 22. He was thrust in there, said, go out there and be a leader. He didn't know how to do it. So to put all that on him, I think, is a little off the mark. And the Jets fans have just crucified him. I don't think he's got any chance to play here again. But in terms of Mike White, I like Mike White. He's a root for. I don't believe in him. I don't believe that the team has played well at all in the past month plus. Not just Zach, and Zach has played poorly, but if this is a Super Bowl caliber defense, you don't allow a 96-yard drive to a Jaguars offense. My question to you guys is, I know you're going to go into a lot of the free agents available, and there's going to be a lot of them. But in addition to the free agents, Is there a guy in the draft? And I know it's early, and I know we just bombed on the second overall pick. But is there a guy in the draft that might be worthwhile to bring in and get a veteran that guy can learn from?
Well, Jason, here's the thing, and thanks for the phone call. The issue becomes, it might be more of an opportunity for them to do that, Ty, if they don't make the postseason, right? Because then but even if they don't make the postseason, they're not drafting 1-2. So the really talented quarterback that you might want to bring in that could make an adjustment or be a starter, let's say a year or two down the road, you're not going to do that. You're going to have to go further down in the draft and maybe get a project and hope that you can build and coach him up to be what you want to be as a franchise quarterback. And let's be fair. The Jets have not exactly won you over as a team that knows how to pick quarterbacks and make them better
over the years. I think the caller answered his own question because he started the phone call by defending Zach and saying the organization failed him because they put him in too early and was asking him to do too much. And then as he's progressing through it, you know, he's talking about how good the team is around him. This defense, don't tell me that, oh, they're not championship level because they gave up a 96-yard drive. No, that's not fair. They held the Jags to, what, 19 points? that this defense is legitimate. The weapons on this team are legitimate. So if you feel like going into next season they're ready to win now, you're not going to draft a quarterback and try to develop him and that's going to take 2 to 3 more years. No, you have to go out there and get someone who's more established, because the what happened with the Jets is they got bitten by their own success. Because Joe Douglas did such a really good job building this team through the draft the last 2 years, they became really good too quickly, where they now had to punt on developing this quarterback in favor of trying to get this team to the playoffs because they were 7-4. So I think you got to go out there and get someone who's a proven commodity. And to your point, like the Jets, why would you want to draft another quarterback? The Jets haven't proven they can do that.
No, they haven't. They haven't. And the other thing here, and I'll say this, my philosophy has always been, when you talk about quarterbacks, is what does the quarterback do? What does the quarterback do that's under his control? Okay? How do they operate? And for me, his inability, even still, to make adjustments, he still throws, Ty, if you're 10 yards away or if you're 40 yards away, he throws the ball the same way.
Yeah.
There's no, he's a thrower. I'll give you the analogy. Great pitchers learn how to pitch. It's not just to be able to throw. Right now, there's a ton of people that throw 100 miles an hour. Not like it used to be. A bunch of folks that throw 100 miles an hour. But sometimes it's the guy that can take a little off, add a little on, move the ball up and down, change your eye level, do different things to make the adjustment that is sometimes more effective than the guy that throws 100 miles an hour, because eventually you will be able to time that 100 mile an hour. But if you take a little off and you may catch you off, you may get hit the ball off the end of the bat or something of that nature. And until he learns to do that, and he should have learned that.
Yeah.
Before college, he should have been doing that at BYU.
If we're still having this conversation in year two, I just think that there is an answer we have at the quarterback position as far as Zach Wilson is concerned. There is no longer a controversy. I think that if you're entertaining this idea that he can still become a semblance of a franchise quarterback, it's one of two reasons. It's either A, because he's the number two overall pick, so it is natural to think someone taken that high, it can still become great. Or B, you're just a family member who you're forced to still be confident in him. But come on, that 22 games, 15 touchdowns, 18 interceptions, 55% completion percentage. Okay, ignore the numbers. Here's what I know. The Jets are about to play the biggest game of Robert Saleh's coaching tenure and the biggest game of Joe Douglas's GM tenure with this team. And they've not only decided that Mike White is better suited. Mike White with fractured ribs is better suited to start this game, but they've also decided that Zach Wilson, if Mike White gets hurt, shouldn't even come into the game because Flacco's the backup and Zach Wilson's on the bench inactive. So if you don't believe the people who, like us, who are critical of Zach and what his future is, believe the Jets, because they're telling you with their actions what they think of this quarterback.
All you need to know is the Hall of Famer, the championship quarterback, Steve Young, who has been involved and a major mentor to Zach Wilson, said to you guys Monday,
he did,
that Zach Wilson is not learning and doesn't deserve to play.
Holy crap.
That's all you need to know. That tells you everything about him. That tells you everything. That he's, once again, as you mentioned, Ty, he's not only benched, he's not even active. He's not eligible. He's not playing Sunday under any circumstances.
Yeah. And which, by the way, could happen, Sunday. Larry.
Like, it could.
With Mike White playing with fractured ribs, there's a chance he could get hurt. And the Jets are telling you, even in that situation, Zach Wilson, not worthy of playing in this. This is a huge game. This organization has a chance to get to the playoffs for the first time since 2010. Like, this is a pivotal game in the season. It's essentially a playoff game, and he's not even dressing.
No.
And if you don't believe us, if you don't believe the coaches, look at the players. Look at the body language they have scary. When he's on the field. Rolling their eyes at him.
They tell
Come
you.
Come on now.
They tell you. You see the Zach Wilson t-shirts.
We didn't see no yet. Zach bleeping Wilson t-shirts.
No. And even quotes from C.J. Mosley, you know, there's a certain energy that Mike White brings. There's a, we was, you know, he's a gamer. He's a look by the fact that he got injured with the ribs and came back into the game. There's a toughness around this guy. He's, look, everybody knows the backup quarterback could run for mayor in any city. Yes. They're always the most popular person. Mm-hmm. But it's what goes on in that locker room. And I'm telling you, if Wilson had continued to play, Saleh would have lost that locker room.
And by the way, Saleh also said after Mike White's first start this year against the Bears, what did he say about Mike White? He makes the easy look easy. And mm-hmm. that just felt harsh. That felt like it was more about Zach Wilson than it was about Mike White.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he had intended it to be that way, but there are just too many signs from the players, from the organization, the decisions that they're making. There are just too many signs that they no longer believe in this guy, and you can continue to try to sell me on, yeah, there's still a path back for him being the franchise starter. I just don't see it. Because if he's not starting in this game with how much is on the line, and it's year two, and you're still trying to evaluate him, then when's he ever starting?
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Ty, before we go to the calls, let's hear from Mike White, because he was asked about the opportunity to be a, quote, franchise QB.
I remember when we first talked, when this whole ride started, it was week to week, day to day, and that's really, I gotta fall back on. Just because we've had, like, it's longer in the season, you can't do that. You can't do that to yourself because you won't play well, your mind will race, and I feel like I've said that 15 times, but I truly believe it, and I'll say it 16 or 17 more times, but I think that's the only way to play this game, and especially in this league, it's just a week to week basis. Things change so fast, so you just gotta be in the moment, be in the now, and focus on that.
Is he a franchise quarterback, Ty?
I think that he's going to get an opportunity in the next couple of weeks to have his name thrown into the quarterback option bag for the Jets next year. If I'm being completely honest, I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. I think he looks much better than he is because we're grading him on a scale in comparison to what Zach Wilson was, and Zach Wilson might be the worst starting quarterback in all of football. So when you make that leap from Zach to Mike White, it just looks better. But I'll just say that he gives them a better chance to win. As of all the quarterbacks on the roster, he obviously gives them the best chance to win. And I feel good going into any game with him because of how good the defense is and how awesome the running attack could be. I just don't see him as a franchise quarterback. Hopefully he proves me wrong, because if he does, it would mean that the Jets went on some miraculous run and did some special things in the next month or so.
Now, I'll say this. I don't know if he is, but he's a leader of men, because he has galvanized that locker room right there. And maybe that is also because of what they've seen with Zach Wilson. I don't know, but there's just a respect level and a let's rally around. We believe that he can do it that they just don't have with Zach Wilson. They just don't. And it's scary, because I'm going to tell you a quick story. When I was covering the Jets and Tim Tebow was there, and people were saying, well, you know what, man, yo, how come Tebow's not playing? You brought him here. What's going on with Mark Sanchez? He's bad. Let's put Tebow in. And I spoke to a couple of players. And this player, I will not name him. And he said to me, Rex Ryan knows if he put Tim Tebow in as a quarterback, the locker room would revolt.
Mm.
So, because the thought process was, okay, if you've got a struggling quarterback, right, yeah, and your job is to win, and you have another option, the guy that was brought here, that was traded for, why wouldn't you play him? Yeah. There's got to be a reason. You're a coach. Your job is to win games.
Yep.
You get fired if you don't win. So why aren't you playing him? And when that player said that to me, I was like, oh, I understand. I get it.
That makes sense because I was one of those wondering, like, what would be the sense in bringing him? I didn't approve of him being brought here. I never thought he was a good quarterback. And then he had that one throw in overtime to beat the Steelers in the playoffs, and everyone went crazy. But I wondered, once Sanchez struggled, like, what's the reason why you brought him here? Wouldn't it be for this moment? And he just never played. I feel like never he played. Got in on, like, special teams once.
Punt protector, thanks to Mike Westhoff. Wanted to do some things with him. Tried to find a way to use him. Tried to find a way. And I think, you know, I think in a sense, once he wasn't able to perform for Bill Belichick, it kind of put everybody else at ease. Because Belichick could do anything with him at quarterback. Well, you know what? Maybe he's not the guy. Back to the phones we go. Ira's in Staten Island. Ira, you're next on the Michael Kay Show.
Hey, Larry, Ty, what's happening? And, yeah, I agree with what both of you are saying, but I lean more towards Ty. Listen, I'm all in on the Mike White bandwagon, especially these next 2 weeks, and hopefully there's going to be at least a third week. But, you know, I really hate to do this, but I can't help myself from not looking ahead. He's not a franchise quarterback. It doesn't mean you can't win games. You know, you could probably maybe make the playoffs. You could, you know, have winning records. But I don't think, and this is, I could be dead wrong, I don't think he's the guy that's going to carry you and get you to a championship like we all want to go to. Now, I'm sure you're monitoring what happened with Derek Carr today.
Yes.
Okay. Derek Carr, to me, is a top 10 quarterback. The numbers don't lie. 35,000 yards. You know, 216 or so touchdowns, 92 or 97 quarterback rating. He's won big games. He's been on some really lousy teams. But with that said, his durability is something to really think about. Up until this week when they just benched him, he's only missed 2 games in, what, 9 or 10 years? Mm. That is a lot of real good durability for a quarterback in today's NFL. And his ability, you know, I think he's very underrated around the league. And I know he had a bad game against Pittsburgh on national TV the other night. But you can't go by just that. If Derek Carr was the opening day starter on this Jet team, beginning of the year, this team would have at least 11 wins, and it would already clinch a playoff spot.
I agree with that. Ira, real quick, I have a quick question for you. I have a quick question for you, because you just raved about Derek Carr. Why would the Raiders be trading him then if he's that good?
It looks like they're stripping it down. I don't know. I'm not part of the organization.
But the reason why I asked that question is because, like, if he's this good and he's only 31, it just, to me, alarms are sounding that the Raiders, who are obviously in a free fall, they might fire Josh McDaniels at the conclusion of this year. Who knows what's going to happen there? But if he's this good and he's only 31, why are they trading him away? That's just suspicious to me. Maybe there's something that we're not seeing that they are. I don't know.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's a great point, and I certainly wouldn't know what the answer is. But to me, this sounds like they're stripping it down, they're getting a new coach, and they're starting from scratch, and they're going to kind of just flush out the money they have. And he's one of the big part of it, $40 million 3 days after the Super Bowl, they have to guarantee him. And if they're going to strip this down, they're not going to do it. And he won't be probably the only one to go. Maybe they start getting rid of some of the other big ticket prices. But if I'm the Jets, and, you know, regardless of what Mike White does, you got to think long and hard about making a run for Derek Carr. I'd be the first guy in line if I were the Jets.
I hear what you're saying, Ira. What's it worth to you?
You mean financially?
Draft picks.
What are you going to do? Take draft picks. They're going to have to cut him because they have to pay him the third day after the Super Bowl. They're not going to do it. By benching him now, they're not paying this guy.
Sounds like he's due like $40 million, right?
But Woody has always been enamored by star quarterbacks.
Yeah, he has.
And once again, let's put it this way. I'll ask both of you this question, and I hope I'm wrong. Is Mike White ever going to put up a, say, a 5 to 10 year career with the numbers that Derek Carr has put up?
No.
No, I don't think so, Ira. Thanks for the phone call. But once again, you have to, part of it ties his lack of availability. He's a guy that, that's been hurt a lot, too.
Yeah, Mike White just keeps getting hurt. I mean, last year, that happened. This year, it's the same thing. And, you know, some of it is just unfortunate and bad luck. That's just my big question, though, Larry. Like, maybe the Raiders are just a bad organization and have no idea what they're doing. But usually when you strip it down and you get rid of the quarterback, it's an older quarterback, 31. Yeah. That just feels awfully young to me.
It does. It does feel awfully young. Plus, and the other thing, it's also, let's face it, it's an indictment on the head coach. Josh McDaniel has not done a good job up there.
He's
not done a good job there. He didn't do a good job in Denver. He may have to go back and see if he can get his job back with New England.
They could use him right now. I mean, with that circus they have going on up there.
No question about it. No doubt about it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.